Table mic, please. Thank everyone for coming.
I got it.
And I want to welcome everyone to the annual Lulav Kvod Yahrzeit of the Yiddish Kodesh. I want to remind everyone to please make sure your phones are turned down, and we ask that there be no talking during the Yalula. And remind everyone that when the event is finished, to please exit the building as quietly as possible. We're in a residential neighborhood here, and we'd like to be kind to the neighbors. I want to thank our sponsors, Ronnie Goldberg and family, David Carmeli, Lili Nishmat, Ruchama, Yochevit Bar Aaron, Cynthia and Harry Kodowitz for Refuah Shleima, for Gitl Malka Bas Rachel, an anonymous sponsor, Lili Nishmat, Rivka Bas Chaim, Stephanie and Arashila, Lili Nishmat, Nathan Ben Yisachar, an anonymous sponsor for Refuah Shleima, for Ratza Bas Hannah Brindel, Shani and Jay Gelman, in honor of Rabbi Benjamin Tepfer, being Magid Shir of Likutei Maran Shir for 3 years, an anonymous sponsor, Zeth Nishmas Yeshua Ben Tzvi HaKohen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. stories. Another song for Rabbi Zvi.
Thank you. thank Yedid Nafshi Yosef. Every year, I really, really do believe that we'll be the last that we'll have to be here in Chutz La'aretz, and that we'll be, as Hashem, together in Eretz Yisrael. But this time, I really, really mean it. It's Hashem, we should be together, Bezat Hashem. Israel just reminded me that this is the 13th year that Yosef is here with us. He was singing, giving kavod to the tzaddik. So Bez Hashem, we should be able to continue together in Yerushalayim.
Amen.
I want to thank also Avi and Aryeh, all the chaverim, yedidim, the people who are sponsoring, who helped. Then the schus of the tzaddik, that all those who are helping, all those who are here, she desired to see all kinds of yeshuas. She was l'mal v'natav.
Amen.
Chaver, it's 70 years. It's 70 years since Rabbeinu Kolonimus Kalman and Rabbeinu Eli Malach was murdered al Kiddush Hashem. 70 years since that time that Olson Nishmose, the Sa'ara Hashemaima, that his holy and pure soul went up in a storm. The Shemaim. And I believe that it's the Ratzon Hashem. We try to be mizbayne, to try to think, to understand. What's this chiddush of the tzaddik? This chiddush of the Eish Kodesh, of Pesach Neskus, Yelena Hashem Kandam. What's the chiddush that Hashem, B'dar B'sraise, in this last generation, at the very, very end of time, that Hashem has brought sent such an exalted neshama? Such a neshama, there was a writer who survived the war. Ahagidea is a person of great substance and thought, who after the war said that before the Holocaust, he knew 300 admirim in Poland. He knew 300 tzaddikim, 300 rebbes in Poland. And this one was great, outstanding in his knowledge of Torah. And this one was great in his love of Jews. And this one was great in the inyan of tzedakah. And this one was great in the inyan of tefillah, of davening. But there was one man, the Piazetzna, the Eish Kodesh, he wrote, there was one man who was mamish, a giant in everything. A giant in everything. And with all of that, a chiddush as a mechanech, whoever has opened up a page of the Svarim HaKadoshim that he brought into the world, the Rebbe said himself that he's nespoil. He doesn't know how he was able to write the Chavos HaTalmidim. He doesn't understand how could he have written such a sefer, Chavos HaTalmidim. Sees that the Rebbe was the greatest mechanech in the last generations. A gibor ruach, fearless, courageous, roifei hanefesh, roifei haguf, an expert in medicine, the pain of the body, the pain of the heart. Uvachol zois, we need to try to understand what's called in Chassidus the Nekuda Beheichala. The Nekuda Beheichala means the Chiddush. The Nekuda Beheichala, the inner point, the Kodesh Kadoshim, of that which the Piazestor was Mechadesh, the Dar Besraisin, the last generation before Mashiach. So there's a short Torah in Eish Kodesh, Parashas Nitzavim Tavshin. And the Rebbe Chusagin writes over there that it's the teva of a Jew. Ubefrat. When Chalila, it's an eis sar. It's a time of pain, of difficulty, of danger. To scream out to the Bari Olam. Because I'll say that the call, when we daven loud, when we scream out, it's ma'ira the kavana. It arouses, it strengthens our thoughts, our feelings. But the truth is that when there's powerful, powerful feelings, it's ma'ira the kol as well. When there are great and powerful, stormy emotions, a Jew can't help but scream. Like Mordechai HaYehudi. And Mordechai Yehudi means every Jew, every Yehudi. V'yizag za'oka g'dayla umara. V'yizag za'oka g'dayla umara. To scream. But the Rebbe writes over there that there are certain matzavim, and the Rebbe was in such a matzav at that time. There are certain matzavim when the Jew is not allowed to scream. He's not allowed because if he's going to be heard, he's going to be shot. He's going to be killed. And together with him, all those who are with him are going to be killed. Regarding such times when a Jew whose heart is exploding, but it's impossible, forbidden, and dangerous to allow those emotions to enter into the call, into the voice. David HaMelech already said, "She'amalos mimamakim krosicha Hashem." She'amalos mimamakim krosicha Hashem. Hashem shema v'kaili tiyena iznecha kashuva is l'kol tachanunai. And the Mefarshim, of course, are all asking, what does it mean to say Hashem Shema B'Kaili, listen to my voice? We're familiar with that. Shema B'Kaili, Shema Kaleinu, we know that. We ask Hashem to listen. But then why did David HaMelech add and say, Tiyena Iznecha Kashuva is the Kol Tahanuna? That your ears should be listening to the sound, to the Kol Tahanuna of my beseeching you. So the Rebbe says that by a boss of Adam, that by a human being, who is unable to raise his voice and he has to whisper, and what he has to say is the most important thing that he ever said in his life. He's begging, Tiyeno is never kashuva is l'kol tachanunai. He's begging and saying, Rabbeinu Shloilam, they're not allowing me to scream. My heart is exploding and I need to scream, but I'm not allowed to. I'm not able to daven out loud. So the same way, when you need somebody to listen to your whisper in desperation, in your mind you're thinking, Tiyeno is necha kashuvais, that may you lean over. I can't raise my voice. I'm begging you to lean next to me. And Tiyeno is necha kashuvais, that your ears will be able to hear the whisper, the sounds that I can't make. And the Rebbe says that David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the very fact that I can't cry out to you, the very fact that I'm being held back and I can't scream to you, this itself hurts me so much. And I'm asking you, Tiyena Eiznecha Kashuvais, I'm asking you not only to hear what I can say, but to hear the pain that I'm in, that I'm unable to say these things. And if the Rebbe was talking about Nazis on the outside, then we could say that there are Nazis on the inside. That are holding us back from being able to scream, to daven, to pour our hearts out toward the Bar Yoylam. And this hurts. I mentioned the words by Neila from a beautiful song that I heard from a Yid. Zakoevli, Abba Yakar, precious father. Zakoevli, Abba Yakar. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe writes, to hear the Ma'amokim, to hear the deepest part of who I am, to be able to hear the sound of my voice, of my heart, the voice of my heart, because I can't give voice, I'm not allowed to raise my voice. So I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tiyeno Yiznecha Mimamakim Kvasich Hashem, and Tiyeno Yiznecha Kashuvais to call Tachanunai to bring me Yeshua. And there he ends and he says that in the parasha Nitzavim it says, Anistaris LaShem Elokeinu, Anistaris LaShem Elokeinu, Rabbi Shalom, we believe and we know that you understand the language of the Nistarais, you understand the language of the heart, the Loshon HaLev. Ata mevin es Loshon HaLev. And the Nistarais, the hidden part of who I am, LaShem Elokeinu, you understand. The tefillos of the heart of the mamakim that I'm unable to, say either because they're going to kill me or because inside of me there's so many things that are holding me back all of these years, and because of all of my avarice and all of the tumma that I brought into my life, I don't know how anymore to bring these feelings out. I don't know how to feel these feelings in a conscious way. Because Baruch Hu, you wrote in your Torah, Hanistaris LaShem Elokeinu, that you listen to all of the Nistaris, you see the Nistaris Alev, you speak the language of the heart, you understand the language of the heart. So Baruch Shalom says to us, I'm going to listen to the Nistaris, I'm going to listen to the Mamakim, I'm going to lean over next to you, and my ears are going to be by your heart, and I'm going to hear the heart's words, the heart's tefillahs, the heart's cries. But there's one thing I'm asking you, and the stars, that's my inyan, Hashem Elokeinu, but hanigloys, lonu levaneinu. Hanigloys, lonu levaneinu, the Rebbe writes, that when the day will come, Rabbi Shimon, if you take us out of this mess, if you pull us out of this miserable bunker in Warsaw, if you pull us out of the bunkers that we're stuck in this world because of the enemies on the outside and the enemies on the inside, I promise you, Hanigloys, that the rest of my life, Lonu Levaneinu, I'm going to tell my children, I'm going to scream out loud in the streets of Yerushalayim, Hashem Elokim. Hanigloys, Lonu Levaneinu. I'll never stop talking about it. I'll never stop davening. I'll never stop screaming. I'll never stop learning. I'll never stop giving my children the opportunity to hear once I'm free from this place, this jail, this prison, this bunker that I'm in. Adkan divrei Rabbeinu. That's at a time when the Rebbe thought that it wasn't yet the Churban, that there was still hope. It's before the time that the Rebbe said he already lost. It's when there was still somebody in his family that was still alive. It seems to me that the great chiddush, one of the chiddushim, the chiddush that to me is the chiddush of all of the chiddushim of the Rebbe, because he was a chiddush of a person. But the nekuda beheichal, the point in the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when you open up the Svarim, whether it's Chavis HaTalmidim, Tzav HaZirus, Derech HaMelech, Haksharas HaAvreichim, any one of the Svarim of the Rebbe that you open up and you begin to learn, and we have the schus to be able to speak as I've been able to Jews who knew him, who saw him, who heard him, who were with him. The chiddush of the Rebbe was shahayu oiznov kashuvois lekol tachanuneinu. He was able to hear the language of the Jewish heart. He was able to hear the language of the Jewish heart. And because of that, he was able to speak the language of the Jewish heart. Particularly in Tzav HaZirus, in his diary. In B'nei Machshava Toiva, Tzav HaZirus, the language of a Jewish heart, the emes, with the exception of Rabbi Nachman's Chusik Eleinu, that way to understand the heart of a Jew, and to speak the language of the Jewish heart, he was leaning over and he was listening to the mamakim of who we are. Now the Rebbe of all such tzaddikim like Rabbi Nachman and the Pizetzner and other tzaddikim, of the heart, the Rebbe of all those tzaddikim, of course, is David Malki Mashiach. Was David HaMelech. The whole Sefer Tehillim is filled with the Lashon Halev, with the language of the heart. We were saying for 40 days, more, from Rosh Chodesh El, all the way till Shana Rabbi Shmini Atzeres. L'cho Amar Libi. Who said such words like David HaMelech? L'cho Amar Libi. L'cho Amar Libi. Soma Nafshi L'Elokim L'Kel Chai. Libi ubesori yiranu kelchai. Libi ubesori. L'cho amai libi. V'loshin halev, the oimek halev. And when the holy lips of David HaMelech couldn't bring out in any way, any words, to express the mamakim, the only person we see in the whole Tanakh jumping and dancing is David HaMelech. Mefaze is umecharke b'chol oiz lifnei Hashem. Mefaze is umecharke b'chol oiz lifnei Hashem. I said to some chavayim in the sukkah that maybe that's what we're davening for. Really, it's based upon the pasuk in Navi and Amos when we ask Harachman who yakim lonu with sukkas David hanayfalas. They're asking Hakadosh Baruch Hu to lift up the fallen sukkah of David HaMelech. That maybe one of the things that means is that this avodah of David HaMelech of L'cho Amar Libi, the Lashon Halev, the language of the Jewish heart, to be able to hear a Jewish heart and to articulate the pain of the Ko'ev Li Abba Yakar, the Ko'ev Li, to be able to articulate, to understand the Lashon Halev, that's the Sukkah David HaNefalas. The This way of David HaMelech is nefula ubezuya mushpelas ma'oid. And in strange ways, in particular in circles of Jews who are learning Torah. Ki'ilu, it was something that was left for our grandmothers, the L'cho Amar Libi of being a Jew. And it seems that in the midst of all of that pain, in the midst of all of the screaming of the heart by Jews who were afraid to scream, who couldn't scream, it seems that the Eish Kodesh to Pisatz Neschus Yerleinu used his unbelievable koiches, his superhuman koiches, to try to lift up at that time the Sukkas David HaNefales, the world of Lecha Amar Libi, the world of heart language, of the Mamakim of a Jew. To bring us to a place of being able to see those words in the Rebbe's writings and to then see them in ourselves, and to be able to be mefazeh u'mecharkeh b'kol oiz lifnei Hashem. I know that many of you have learned the Tzav Bezirus. The 27th Torah, or entry into the Tzav Zeruv, which is translated into English, and I'll read it directly from the English to save time. Many of you know, many of you have seen. To me, it's one of the most remarkable things that was ever written, because the Rebbe allowed us, in Tzav Zeruv, he allowed us a glimpse of his heart. And here again, we only find this by Rabbi Nachman, by the Piazetzna, and by Rav Kook, Zechron Levrocha. Such things we find by these tzaddik. The L'cho Amar Libi, to allow us to see inside. And the 27th Torah in Tzav Zeruv, the Rebbe describes in a very detailed way the powerful emotions that he was feeling when there was a Hachnasas Sefer Torah in the Beis Medrash. And the Rebbe was beyond words. He was on fire. Mamish on fire. And he says that when a Jewish person reveals from within himself his inherent holiness with which to serve his Creator, then every act that he does for God, even self-initiated service, becomes for that while actually holy. The Rebbe wanted to do something. His heart was bursting. And he wanted to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring out the feelings of the heart. But he didn't want to imitate, he didn't want to copy. Like the Rebbe writes later on in Tzav Zeruv, that a niggun every person has within himself, a niggun. Within oneself there's a niggun. Just to sing somebody else's niggun, the Rebbe writes in Tzav Zeruv, it's like drinking water that somebody else spat out of his mouth. You have to sing your own niggun. And every Jew's a Baal Menagin. It doesn't mean with these kind of tunes, but to connect to that niggun yourself. To find your own way. To bring out the Mamak. And the Rebbe was looking for such a thing. So how many of you remember, what did the Rebbe decide to do? It sounds crazy. What happened over there, you remember? Somersaults. says, how else can you explain why I became so enthused and I desired the somersault in honor of the Sefer Torah? Now you have to remember, if people like you and I do things like that, nobody even looks, especially in Eish Kodesh. If you do it like in a serious, somber place in the kingdom of sadness, you might cause somebody to stare. But Baruch Hashem, so people who are b'chlal not living in a place of malchus and not in such a place of covet and malchus. You have to think this is a rebbe that was from the biggest rebbes in the whole world, the son of kedoshim on both sides. So he says, why else did my whole body become so energized when I saw the place where I would dance and my whole body began to shake with excitement? He began to shake. Frequently a Jew's yearning is ignited far beyond the normal level of his own service. Halavai should be frequently, but sometimes for us. Sometimes with the Nazis inside, the mamakim makes its way. And we hear, we lean over and we hear ourselves, Tiena is Nacha Kashuvas, to hear what's inside. And a person's yearning is ignited far beyond the normal level of his service. His soul then yearns to perform some great act for God. But his heart is broken from the reality of his normal service. But his heart is broken looking at himself, how impoverished he is. If only now I were able to perform some act that would lift me out of myself, out of the bunker, out of the ghetto, to let go. If only now I were able to extract my very being from my normal self, I would soar up straight to the heavens. So the Rebbe says, when I started preparing myself to attend the Hachnasa Sefer Torah, my yearning already had begun to flare. The thought that such an awesomely holy and joyous occasion might come only once in my lifetime, he didn't realize that his lifetime was not going to be long. So start to burn within me. I wanted very much to do something for God. So I will rejoice in awe and dance with all my might. But no, that might be nice, but my soul is still not pacified. This is not the great act suitable for such an awesome occasion. Then the idea came to me to somersault, as the lowly peasants do for their masters. But then he says that a voice, a counter voice, spoke up within me. This is going to be silly, it might be bad for your health, it's not dignified, you're going to look like a fool, and so on. Will you not look like a fool doing somersaults in front of all of those people? Then from the depths of my heart, from the mamakim, I screamed at this voice, that voice of the Nazi. I screamed at this voice, the voice that's telling you not to scream. The voice is telling you not to dance. The voice is telling you not to be a Jew. And I screamed, Hashem should destroy your force of evil. There's no time for second thoughts. The moment is great, it is unique, and it is passing. To do some act of self-sacrifice for God is what I want, and you have only helped me to find it. The very act that you seek to intimidate me from doing because of health or personal reasons, that is the very act I choose to do. And I now hallow myself in preparation. From that moment on, this self-contrived, unsophisticated act became for me a holy service. It was now very clear in my eyes, and I surrendered myself completely to it. My conscious thoughts had just begun to wander. How would I somersault when the flames of my soul engulfed me to self-sacrifice? No more did I imagine any simple somersault, but now God's altar shone before me. The place where the procession was about to pass became hallowed with the flames of holy fire. I felt as if my blood were bubbling while my tears were pouring forth. By whom and how did this simple act become hallowed, become kaddish for the moment? Why did my entire body shake with fervor and become then also hallowed? It must be my sparks, my potential spiritual energy that were now being expressed in reality, the mamakim. The simplest Jew has such sparks. I greatly rejoice later on to learn that David HaMelech also somersaulted before the Holy Ark. As it says in the Medrash on the Pasuk, that David was me, Mephazes and Mechakalus, and Bechol Oizlus, and Hashem, it's brought down in the Yitzchak in the Medrash that David HaMelech was doing somersaults. The Rebbe only saw that later on in the Medrash. So on behalf of everybody who's here, and on behalf of the Jews everywhere in the world who over the years have started to learn the Rebbe's Svarim, and have felt the Rebbe's ear upon their hearts, listening to the Lashon HaLev, to the Mamaki, understanding the Lashon HaLev, expressing the Lashon HaLev, I want to thank the Rebbe for listening, for hearing, for helping us come to that place so that we could also dance. Let me tell you a story. It's Masai Shabbos. The Chayzim of Lublin, Schus HaGelinu, said that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a new Masechta. Now we have the Masechtas of Shas. We were Zoyecha last night to make a Siyam in the Shul. As we have, this is the fourth Siyam HaShas, Teresh of Alpeh, and Teresh of Achsav among the Chareim and the Shul that cover the Rebbe. The Chayzer said that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be another Masechta. Does anybody here know the name of the Masechta, what the Chayzer said? It's called the Masechta of David Lelever. You can't guess that. You were thinking about it. But that's what the Chayzer said. We can't have it now. It's not yet in our hands. The Masechta of David Lelever. Of David Lelever, so here's one story of David Lelever, which is maybe the sharblat of getting into that Masechta, which will be zayicha to learn with Mashiach Tzirkeinu, the Masechta of David Lelever. David Lelever was intoxicated with Jews. He said that he loved Jews. He was intoxicated with Jews. He was shikr, mishigr, with his love for Jews. Every story about David Lelever is this nakuda. That's the nakuda by Cholish of David Lelever. Him by the Bedichev of Moshe Lipsasava, the nakuda by Cholish. The Rebbe Bzisha. The Nakuda Behechal. So it once happened that Rav David Lelever was sitting in this medrash someplace. I don't know where. And there was a Choshev Yid that came into the Bis Medrash. In those days, they didn't have mail. They didn't have delivering mail letters, so the way the Jews would do it, and people did bechlal, the way they would do is, you try to find somebody that was going in the direction, going to your near your town, to try to ask a toivah, to give a few pennies, to ask if you make a little detour, to go to the town, to bring a letter. So there was a choshev yid that came to this medrash. Nobody knew who David Lelever was sitting there. He used to go very, very, very poshut. And there was a choshev yid that came in, and he And he asked, is there anybody here in the Beis Medrash? He was going from one shul to the next, wherever this town was. Is there anybody here in Beis Medrash who's going to be going to Pietrakov? Anybody going to Pietrakov, near Pietrakov? There's a very important letter that I have to deliver, that I need delivered. So Rav Lelovitz jumped up and he said, I'm going. Because Lelov wasn't next door, but Rav Lelov wanted to do a taiva, and he was going back to Lelov and could make it a part of the trip. She said, I'm going. Now this person looked at Rav Lelov and he got a little bit nervous. It was an important letter, and Rav Lelov looked like a real schlepper. But he wasn't going to embarrass him, and it was kind of him to offer. And this person, who it turns out was the Rav of Pietrakov, so this Choshev Talmud Chacham, he asked the Rav, he said, look, I appreciate that you're going. This is very important, because my wife is expecting me home. But there's something else that came up, and I'm going to be away for like another week or so. And I don't want my wife to be worried. So Rav David Lelov said, I'm going now. I could be in Pietrakov in a day. I could be there soon. Okay, fine. As it turns out, The Rav Pietrakov couldn't go back in a week. There were ikuvim, and as a result of these things, he was delayed, and he didn't get back for a few weeks. And when he finally returned home, he found the greatest shock of his life. The greatest, the most beautiful shock of his life. The Rav of Pietrakov had 10 children. And there was a daughter, a girl, a beautiful, beautiful child, who was paralyzed, who came to the world, she was unable to walk. In those days, there was very little that you could do. And only the richest people were able to afford some kind of a chair or even shtaklich sticks to help. Most of the time she had to be lying down, she was in bed. And when the Rav of Pietrakov came home after those few weeks, when he walked in, this little girl, let's call her Rivkala, whatever her name was, this little Rivkala jumped up and screamed out, Tati, and she ran over and jumped into his arms. And he almost passed out. He was crying. And he was holding her. And he said, Rivkala, I don't understand. How is this what happened? How you were able to walk? Not just walk. She jumped into his arms. So she said, Tati Abiyaka. Around 2, whatever it is, 2, 3 weeks ago. It was very, very late at night. And there was a knock on the door. I was in my room in bed. And the children were in the big room. And they opened the door, and there was a very, very, very funny looking, interesting person. Had torn clothing and a little cap. And he was on like a person from another world. Eyes that were like, each eye was mamish on fire like the sun. And I peeked through the door to see him, and the children gathered around him, and he said, 9 kinderlach, 9 children. Baruch Hashem. He was counting Hoshia. He started to go Hoshia, and he grabbed one. Es. And another one, Amecha. He was grabbing each one, a double elephant. And little Yossi said, but there aren't 9 of us, there are 10. And he said, why, where's the 10th? Where's the other one? And Yossi said, our sister is unable to walk. She's in her room. And the man walked over to the room, and he came in, and he stood for a long time next to me. And she said, Abba Tati, I never saw in my life such love. The way I saw in his eyes, I never saw such love. And for a long time, he was looking at me, and then he said, Hashem is about to give you a foolish lima. You should be walking and dancing. And she said, Abba, I swear to you, that from the moment that he walked out of the house, I began to feel different. After a few minutes, I was able to get out of bed, and within a half hour, I was dancing with the children. And I haven't stopped dancing since that time. I'm waiting for you. Hadron Loch Mesech is Abdavilal of Hadra Halam. The Mesech of Abdavilal of the Mesechta of a Jew whose love was able to bring other Jews who couldn't move, who was able to bring them to a place to be Mefazes and Mechaker B'chol Oiz Lefnei Hashem. A Jew whose love of other Jews, a Jew whose understanding of the Jewish heart, who's speaking the language of the Jewish heart, who has the eyes that gaze into the Jewish heart, was able to set a person on fire and to free him from that place that holds him back from being mefazer and mecharker, from dancing, from jumping, from singing, from being hanigleis lo nuluvaneinu. That's the secret of the Mesechta of Rav David Lelev. That's the secret of the Mesechta of Rav Gelonimus Kalman ben Rabbi Elimelech. What a schus we have at the end of time, what a schus we have to be able to open these svarim, to be able to hear, and to be able to feel the Rebbe's ears upon our hearts. Rabbi Avraham Leiger's Chus Galenu, the son of Rabbi Leiber Leiger's Chus Galenu, Rabbi Avraham Leiger's Yehuda, he says that we see Yesh Oymim Chaloin, Yesh Oymim Magolis, Evan Toiva, the Tsoyar in the window, the Tsoar that provided the light in the Teva in Noach's Ark. So one view says it was a Chalon. A Chalon in a window. The other view says that it wasn't a Chalon, it was a Tsoar, something shining. The Gemara of Margolis Rashi brings down a pearl that was shining. The Avraham Leiger says that Chalon is the Oisius Nafshenu Chiksol Hashem. Cheslam Nun, without the vod, the word, is Nafshenu Chiksol Hashem. That in the darkest, darkest time, there's a window that's opened up into the heart of a Jew that allows the person to still have hope in Hashem. Nafshenu Chiksol Hashem. And Rabbi Yerchanan says it was a margolis, a pearl. Margolis, the Shem Yehuda says, is margolis. Oy, golis is so bitter. Oy, tata leibu, father, golis is so bitter. The distance between my mind and my heart, my life in the golis of the bunker of myself. Margolis means that there are tzaddikim who are able to install an Evan Toiva Margolis in the Marirus of Golis, a Chaloin, a window of Nafshenu Chiksol Hashem. And that's what the Rebbe, the Piazetzner, Chus Eleinu, did for us. But Rebbe, it's been 70 years. 70 years in the Mabul, the flood hasn't ended, the flood is getting worse. The marble of the filth, of the slime, of the tumor, the marble of the Nazis, that are not walking around anymore, Baruch Hashem, frightening us in that way. But the Mabul, is 70 years already since the Rebbe was taken from this world. It's already the time between the Churban and the new Beis HaMikdash. So Rebbe, we're asking that in your schus, that in this time of Margolis, that the window should be opened of Nafshenu Chisel Hashem, and that the Bari Olam should gaze into the window of who we are, and should lean over to the hearts of Am Yisrael, and to hear us crying, and to Yenor Yisnecha Kashuva Yislokol Tachanunai, and the schus that we still care, and the schus that we still remember. Hashem Yisbok should help that already long before the 71st year outside, we'll be sitting down in a beautiful, beautiful place in Eretz Yisrael, all of us together, all the Yedidim, all the Chavayim together. And we'll be reading inside, we'll be learning the Masechta of Reb Kolodimus Kalman and Rabbi Yelamelech, the Masechta of David Lelevin, the Masechta of the Baal Shem of Rabbi Shimon of the Ari HaKadosh, the Masechta of Rabbi Nachman of Rav Kook, the Masechta of the Chasam Sofer, the Masechta of the Gra, the Masechta of all the Tzaddikim in this generation, and all the Tzaddikim Shoich Nei Ofer, with the Gula Hashleima, and with Tchiyas HaMaisim, and Rabbi Amin HaAmein HaAmein.
Thank you. I believe.